tonight. I told James when we were sitting up here on Sunday when Pastor announced that I was preaching and he'd be gone. I said, that's probably not a good thing to say. I said, we might run half the crowd off. But I'm glad to see everybody's here. We got a good crowd tonight. It's a beautiful day out today. I've got to find my place. The message I prepared for tonight, I heard a message really similar to this several years ago. And when the pastor asked me, Dave asked me what the title of my message was tonight, and I said, it's kind of every time I started, it kind of went a different way, but the title that I gave it was, What to Pray When You Don't Know What to Pray. And he said, could you pick out a little longer title for me? But that's what I want to speak on tonight, what to pray when you don't know what to pray. I wonder if anyone here has ever been there before. You ever been there? You don't know what to pray, or there's a situation and you don't know what to pray for. We're going to look at a little bit of Scripture tonight. Like I say, it's an honor and a privilege to be here and to be able to speak tonight. I feel so inadequate standing up here sometimes preaching in place of our pastor. Wonderful preacher and teacher he is. Need to keep him in our prayers as he travels this week and next week. He'll be on the road a lot. The pastor asked me to preach, and it seems like almost inevitably that the few times he's asked me to preach, I start to pray about what the Lord wants me to speak on, and he never fails. He always, almost just gives me something right away. And this message just came to my mind right away that I'd heard, and I just laid on my heart that that'd be a good thing. It was a help to me, and I was hoping it might be a help to someone maybe here tonight. Now, if you would turn to John chapter 12. They always tell me I don't speak up. It sounds loud to me, but is it just me tonight? Sandy's shaking her head. It's good. Not too loud. She's sitting up front, so we must be good to go. John chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 20 through verses 28. I like these verses because in these verses we not only see the divine side of Christ, but we see his humanity in these verses. I was talking to my wife tonight a little bit, and it seems like so often when I think of Christ, I tend to look more at his divine side than his humanity. And with Lord's Supper the other night, it's a great time. We were talking to look back at what he did for us, and we see his humanity, the human side of Christ when we take part in the Lord's Supper. And in these verses, I see his humanity. Let's read the text. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 28. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for our church, Lord, and the privilege we have to come out on a Wednesday night, Lord, and be in your house, Lord, and study your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would be with me tonight as I bring this message. I believe you've laid on my heart, Lord. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, Lord. Speak through me. pray that it might be a blessing to someone here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, we see Jesus has just made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, just previous to the reading of this scripture here. He was in Lazarus' house, whom he raised from the dead. And he was visiting there. Many of you probably know the story very well. He'd just been anointed by Mary in the house. Many of the Jews had believed on Christ as a result of the miracle which Jesus performed in raising Lazarus from the dead. And there was also the chief priests there at that time who were not only seeking to kill Jesus because of the Jews that had believed, but they were also seeking to kill Lazarus because of this. And that's what's taking place up to the portion of Scripture that we read there tonight. And as you know, the book of John, we're leading up now into when Christ will be crucified and when he'll go to the cross. And as I said, Jackie told me not to mention her name. What about this? I was just kicking some stuff off of her tonight, and I got about halfway through my notes, and she said, "What does this have to do with what to say, what to pray when you don't know what to pray?" And so I said, I kind of went a different way there for a little bit, but in these verses, I saw, and I just started to look at the humanity of Christ, and sometimes we see here, Christ says in verse 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled." We find, you know, I don't think of Jesus being troubled. I see him, you know, I think of him performing miracles, you know, turning water into wine, raising people from the dead, Lazarus and others from the dead. And we see him giving, restoring sight to the blind, healing people. And I don't think of Christ being troubled. But here in this verse it says, Christ says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" The Lord was disturbed here about something. And Christ knew. He knew when he prayed this prayer. He knew what was ahead for him. As we said, this was leading up to when he was going to be crucified. And it seems like, maybe it's just me, but so often, like I said, I see the divine side of Christ, and sometimes I miss his humanity. And that's why I think it's so important, especially at Lord's Supper, to remember what Christ had to suffer. I don't know why I sometimes think that, but I told Jackie, I said, sometimes it's even like, if you're thinking about Jesus from his divine side, you're seeing that maybe, you know, I think of Jesus as God, which he is God, but he's also 100% was 100% human, and he suffered just the same as if one of us would have been suffering. The pain was is real to him, even though he was God. The agony, and after this reading here, he was leading up. He had the agony in the garden that he had to withstand. The mockings that he withstood coming up to the mocking trial, had a crown of thorns on his head. The agony of being made sin for us. And we think of that as just being just the pain and what he went through. But the worst thing that he had to go through was being made sin for us. God actually had to turn his back on his son because he couldn't stand to look on the sin when he took the sin of the world upon him. Dr. Heatwell teaches our Bible Institute class, one of our classes. And I was thinking about scourging and with Lord's Supper, and the last couple of weeks I've just been thinking, we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, I've just been thinking a lot about, you know, what Christ did with it, what he went through for us. And we was just in the Institute the other night. He'd given this illustration before, but he gave it again about what takes place when someone was scourged. And again, you're thinking, what's this have to do with prayer? Well, we'll get to it here in a little bit. But I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know if anyone's like this, but I guess it depends. Maybe if you're a nurse or something, there's Helen. Maybe you get used to seeing gruesome things and the blood and the broken bones and stuff. But when someone, Rob Hook, the guy that works with us, sometimes he'll tell me about some of the stuff he sees out in the squad, and it just makes me cringe when he starts describing, you know, somebody's broken leg and bones sticking out of their legs and all this crazy. And it just almost makes me sick to my stomach sometimes. And Dr. Heatwell was talking about this, talking about what the scourging actually was back in Christ's day and what took place. And my understanding, they used a cat of nine tails, which would have been basically, I envision it as a whip, with instead of one, there being nine separate cords with all kinds of bone and rock, metal, whatever they had, any kind of sharp, jagged objects that they could tie onto that. And how many times was they scourged, Brian? How many times was it? Was it 39 or 29 normally? How many stripes did they receive? I can't remember. I wanted to say it's 29 or 39. But if you can imagine, I can't hardly imagine it, being whipped with a cat of nine tails the way they describe it that many times, and what type of wounds that would inflict upon a person's body. And with Jesus, they took his robe off. They scourged him that amount of times. And Dr. Heatwell, you know, you don't think about things, but he said, you know, if you can imagine it, probably his bones and his back were and body were exposed, totally exposed from the beating that he took. And it's just unimaginable to think about. And then he said, after they scourged him, they took his robe and they put it back on him. And can you imagine putting his robe back on his back and that robe working into those wounds and then drying around his wounds? And then when they took him to the cross, what did they do to him? Took his robe back off. And just, it's just, when he said that, I thought it's just an amazing thought, you know, just to think that, and that, you know, Christ was human during this. He was still God, but he withstood the pain and the suffering. And my understanding is most men wouldn't even last the scourging. That would kill most people. And he had to suffer that, plus make it to the cross, and then suffer on the cross. And everything he suffered on that cross is just unimaginable sometimes, what he did for us. You know, Hollywood portrays Christ as some weak, I told you, some weak, frail, long-haired, light-complected, hippie-looking guy that looks like he can barely stand up and walk around, let alone, you know, and it's just, and there was a TV show I thought of, it's been years ago when I saw it. I don't put much stock in what, you know, they put on TV, but it caught my attention, and they were basically showing what they thought Christ might have looked like, and it was neat because it wasn't what we picture him as from the Hollywood pictures and the paintings and drawings that we see. It was actually pretty good. I wish I had it. But, you know, they put, you know, I think, you know, Christ, he would have fit in with the people there. He would have been just like anyone else. And, you know, his appearance, his facial characteristics, they kind of put in the facial characteristics for that area, that time. He would have been dark-complected, if you can imagine living in the Middle East. He wouldn't be this real light-complected person. They didn't have real long hair on him. He had, you know, shorter hair and had a beard. And he would have been, you know, he wasn't real this weak guy. He was strong. He would have been very strong. Of course, he was what did he do for a living? A carpenter. So, you know, he was really strong. I thought, right, Dave? Ronnie? Yeah. Good for you. I saw Jackie. I said, Dave's only, he's been working with us for a couple weeks, and he already keeps telling me I never do anything. So. But Christ would have been strong. He would have fit in. He would have been, you know, darker complected, probably had a beard, shorter, not this long hair. And when they showed the picture of what they thought Christ might look like, I told Jackie, that probably isn't anything what he looked like, but I could see that. I could see him, his face looking like that. And just seeing, you know, that was just, it was really interesting. I don't know how I got off on that. But, you know, Christ was human. Like I said, most normal men took the scourgings would have never made it past the scourging. And in that verse 27, it says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" And I see Christ's humanity there. He was troubled. And, of course, he knew what was ahead of him. In our text here, we find the Lord praying, "What shall I say?" He says, "Father, save me from this hour." And I asked the question earlier, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a point where, where am I? You say, what, I don't know what to say. You know, save me from this hour. You know, maybe, you know, this could go for you personally, or maybe someone you're close to, a friend or family. You know, maybe they've been diagnosed with cancer. We all know people like that. They've been diagnosed with cancer. It just seems to be running rampant these days. You know, maybe the doctors told you there's nothing more that they can do for you. I think of Mike, you know, when they told him that, you know, he only had a couple years to live. You know, that your soul would be troubled. And sometimes you just don't know what to say. It should be comforting, you know, if you've ever been there, the Lord's there. We find here the Lord was there. He didn't know what to say. He was troubled about what it was leading up to. And Christ knew, as I said, Christ knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to face the cross, that he was going to suffer the pain and agony leading up to the cross. But he says something after that. He says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." Christ knew what he was facing, what he was up against. And even though in his humanity we see him troubled and asking, you know, "Father, save me from this hour." But he says, "For this cause came I into this hour." He knew that he had to die on that cross so that we could live. And that's why Christ said, he said, "Glorify thy name." He says, "Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour." He realized why he was there, what his purpose was. He was born to die. We sing the song. Christ was born to die. his main focus was that the Father be glorified through his death. I find here a prayer that I believe would be proper and right for us to pray in any circumstances. When you don't know what to say, you don't know what to pray, in the circumstances, you can always pray, "Father, glorify thy name." That, like I said earlier, that's been a help and a comfort to me. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the Lord's will is. In the verse 28, when he says "Father," Christ said "Father," and I thought, you know, isn't it good to know that we have a Father who loves us, who cares for us, that we can trust Him, we can go to Him. And times of deep distress and trials and troubles and sicknesses and whatever comes to our life, we can always go to our Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us we can cast our cares upon Him. I don't have the reference, but it says, "Casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us." Familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love towards us." Throughout the whole Bible, we find a Father who loves us, and we, you know, it's hard to believe sometimes that He loves us, but He loves us, He cares for us. It's a great comfort to know that. It says, "Save me from this hour, When Christ said that, I think that's probably what I would have probably said. And a lot of times when I'm faced with those kind of things, I find myself saying that. You know, we tend to complain and sometimes looking to Christ is a last resort when we're going through something. But I would have probably, you know, especially facing what Christ was facing, that's probably what I or most of us should say what we should say is Father, and it may be, I don't know why or why someone else, someone of my loved ones or family members or someone dear to me, you know, sometimes we don't understand why they're going through the trials and these things that come into our life. But we can say when we come up against those things, whatever the cause is there, whatever cause that we're in that hour where Christ was facing, that we can pray to the Father and pray to glorify His, that the Father will glorify His name through whatever the situation may be. The next thing I had was we were saved. Christ saved us for a purpose. Christ knew that He was going to the cross. He knew He was going to the cross to die for each one of us, for our sins. And we were saved for a purpose, one of our main purposes. Pastor asked us at an officers' meeting there a couple months ago what the purpose of the church was, the threefold purpose of the church. And the main purpose of the church is to glorify the Father. And that, as individuals, as saved, we've been saved to glorify the Father, one thing, and to tell others about what He's done, for us. Verse 32, I didn't read that earlier, but verse 32, John chapter 12 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." We got into this in Institute there on Monday night a little bit. It was talking about Calvinism a little bit. And the Calvinists will say that Christ predestined that only certain people are to be saved. And as we were studying that, it's just incredible that they say that that God does not love everyone; He only loves those who He has chosen to be saved. When the Bible clearly tells us over and over that God loves everyone; He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And then this verse came up, and I'd been studying this a lot, so I immediately thought of this, and it says, "If I be lifted up," that's what Christ be glorified, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He doesn't say all men will be saved, but I believe Christ draws all men to Him. One thing I see in verse, I think it's 24 and 25, there's something that sometimes gets in the way of us too, is we need to get self out of the way. We read in verse 24 and 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." We need to die to self. Think about what we're doing and do it to the glory of God. The Bible tells us to do all to the glory of God. It tells us to let our light so shine before men that He may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I know in my life I struggle with this. I can only assume that a lot of people struggle with this. Our flesh seeks the praise and seeks praise of others and glory. And there's nothing wrong with that. We like when people tell us we do a good job. You know, when we go up and sing a special, it's nice to, hear. Sometimes whether you did a good job or not, it's still nice to hear people say you did a good job. It's nice to hear, tell you that the choir sounded good today. Or, it's nice to to be praised and to be told, be appreciated and things like that. But, you know, sometimes I find myself going up to sing a special or something, and I'm more worried about that than giving God the glory. And I find myself praying, you know, so often, you know, Lord, my flesh craves, you know, attention and things like that, but that's not what I want. You know, I want, sometimes it's hard to defeat the flesh, but I pray that often, you know, I want, you know, what I do, and I want it, when our choir gets up there and sings, I want it to be to Him, for His honor and for His glory. Now the Bible says He'll take care. We give Him the honor and glory, and He'll take care of us. We'll get what He has for us. I've already said a lot of this, but I pray often. You know, Father, you know, a lot of times we pray Thy will be done, you know, or you know, it's basically the same thing. You know, Father, glorify Thy name. You know, we want everything that we're doing to be for His honor, His glory. You know, whether you're laying in a hospital bed, whether you're, you know, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, out driving a bus, visiting, laying under a bus, working on it, whatever you do, cleaning the church, you know, whatever, we should, you know, do for His honor and for His glory. Verse 28 tells us that this is a prayer that God will answer. We know that God answers our prayers. Verse 28 says, Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. This is a prayer that we can pray. And if we pray with the right heart, God will answer the prayer. Anytime. We don't know what to pray about. I think this is an appropriate prayer to pray. Father, glorify Thy name. We want His will to be done in certain situations. A lot of times we know what the Lord's will is. You know, we know what for certain situations what we should be praying for, and we want to pray in accordance to His will. But there's those times. I know we've all been there where you just don't know. I told Jackie tonight, I'll end with this. She says I always get along, but I've known pretty good tonight. I can't even think about this or work on preparing this at all without the first person that popped into my mind was Mike. And I can't help but think, you know, Mike, his testimony was impeccable. It was just wonderful. Through his whole illness, you know, I can't help but think that Mike might have, I can see Mike praying a prayer very similar to what Christ prayed here in verse 27 and 28. I mean, can you see Mike praying this prayer? Now was my soul troubled. When he found out, I forget, you know, it's been too many years ago, how much time they gave Mike when he was diagnosed. It wasn't very much. And with surgery, he beat the odds as far as what they said he was going to get through. But I can just almost see Mike praying, you know, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. And I don't think Mike knew how the Lord was going to work through his illness. He might have had a little bit of an idea. Christ knew what he was going to do. I don't think he knew, but I can almost just, you know, see him praying for this cause, even though he didn't know exactly what it was. Came I into this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. This is a prayer that has helped me. Like I say, a lot of times you know what to pray for, but especially in praying for Mike, you know, at the beginning, obviously what we wanted was we wanted Mike to get better. We wanted the Lord to heal him and restore him back to health, bring him back in, and that wasn't the Lord's will, but closer to the end there, it seemed like I would pray, you know, more and more. You know, I didn't want to see him suffer. You know, we didn't want to see him suffer. We knew he was saved. You know, maybe, you know, we were thinking, you know, maybe it's best for him to go home. You know, we'd love to see him perform a miracle in that type of situation. But, you know, I just prayed, you know, Lord, I don't know what to pray, but Father, just glorify your name in this. And, you know, that's just one situation. There's so many situations. I think of Sandy, you know, going through what she's going through the last couple of years, and just your testimony has been wonderful. And just seeing the Lord work through these, you know, he's got a plan, and we can't see it. Christ knew. I don't think that made it any easier for him, but he knew what he was facing. And so often we don't know what we're facing. We don't know how it's going to work out. And it's hard sometimes to say, you know, we understand. We just need to trust him that he's got a plan. He knows what's going on. Just trust him, obey him, and he'll work it out. But this prayer, it's just been a, like I said, it's been a prayer that's helped me. I think it's an appropriate prayer to pray when you just don't know what to pray. You know, Father, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what your will is. We don't know what your plan or your purpose is in some of these situations that come up in our life. But we just want your name to be glorified through whatever the situation might be. That's all I have. So let's bow our heads and pray.